The text is the reading, the gospel reading from Luke chapter 14. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost of it to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." Here ends our text. Own it is an expression meaning to make something your own in the sense of mastering it, dominating it. Many think they own it when it comes to being a disciple, a follower of Jesus. Look at the text. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. Following Jesus was a piece of cake. It was easy. They owned it. You might think that way too, and you'd be wrong, along with the crowds in the text. Jesus sees the crowds, and what does he do? Welcome them with open arms? Is he delighted by his success? Does he plan to build a big church? No, Jesus does precisely what church growth people say don't do. Instead of removing roadblocks for them, Jesus throws down huge ones. He demands they stop their following right there and calculate the cost. When's the last time you calculated the cost? Do you have what it takes to build a Christian life? A structure reaching to heaven? Do you have what it takes to defeat sin, death, and the devil that are coming against you? Do you think you can be a disciple of Jesus and not build a Christian life? Do you think you can be a disciple of Jesus without defeating sin, death, and the devil? Think again. Drop the metaphors and start calculating. Jesus says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Have you ever chosen family over Jesus? You know, some of the martyrs were literally given that choice. Deny Jesus or your family dies. We haven't faced anything that serious. But who among us hasn't thought more of our family than of Jesus? We take their word over his word. We sacrifice more for them than we do for him. We care more for our relationship with them than with him. Matthew explains what Jesus means by hate in his parallel account. Jesus says there, whoever loves family more than me. But in a perverse way, I have managed to hate my family at times in the wrong way. But I've never, ever been able to do that to my own life. No, I believe the psychological gospel that self-esteem, that's the most important thing. I can manage to hate everyone and everything around me, but never me. Using this standard to calculate, I'm not a disciple. Neither am I one if I look at the next standard. Jesus says, anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. You can't own discipleship if you won't own your cross. I can carry lots of burdens. I can go through lots of hardships. But I cannot carry the cross that leads to the death of me. I can't carry the cross that means I'm not in control anymore. Me, myself, or I will do lots of things with Jesus, even for Jesus, but it won't die. Jesus gives one more standard to meet before a person can say they own being a disciple. Any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. This is not the noun for possessions. This is the verb for that which he has. It's better translated, all the things belonging to self. I can give up things for Lent, for Jesus and for the church, but not this. And you can see, although Jesus lists three standards, there's really only one. If you're going to own discipleship, you must hate self, crucify self, and give up the things of self. You've got to be able to say of self what Peter said of Jesus, I know not the man. And does anyone here really think they have a chance of doing that? You're going to hate self, kill self, and give up everything precious to self to follow Jesus when you won't do any of that to be an obedient child, a faithful employee, or a loving spouse. To own discipleship, you're going to give up everything about you. The thoughts, the ways, the opinions, the desires that you most certainly do own now. I can't speak for you, but after calculating according to Jesus' standard, I find myself with a half-completed tower. I thought I could build it to reach all the way to heaven, but I've got nothing except intentions. My barely begun tower mocks me. And as for that conflict with sin, death, and the devil, I'm no match for any of them. Because that's so, what does Jesus say I'm going to do? I'm going to ask terms of peace. Friend, do you know what it means to sue for peace with sin, death, and the devil? It means to be owned by them. When Jesus preaches the law, he doesn't do it so you will say, I'll try harder, or I'll do better. He preaches the law to drive you to your grave and then to his open arms. The law shows you that far from you owning discipleship, you are owned by sin, death, and the devil. The only salvation from this slavery is to be owned by Jesus. Jesus came down from heaven to own the law, both its requirements and its punishments. As the second person of the Trinity, he was not under the law or its punishments. So he became a man. He was born under the law. All of its obligations became his. All of its punishments became his. Jesus did what none of us can do. He did love his heavenly Father more than his earthly family. When only 12 years old, Jesus told his mother and stepfather that he must be about his heavenly Father's business. At the wedding of Cana, when his mother inserted herself into his ministry, Jesus told her that it had nothing to do with her. Later on, when his family came to rescue him from his ministry, Jesus declared that his real family were those who heard the word of God. Don't think this was easy for Jesus because he is God in the flesh. No, he didn't use any of his divine power to fulfill God's law for us. If he had, it wouldn't have been in our place. We see how hard it was for Jesus in Gethsemane. There he asks, there he begs with tears for his Father to take his cross from him. But the Father didn't. And so Jesus went forth bearing his cross, eventually being nailed to it. Jesus owned discipleship. He was a perfect disciple. He really did give up everything that belonged to him. He renounced the use of his heavenly glory, power, and privilege. And he did that just so he could suffer and die in place of you. And although Jesus was the perfect disciple, he owned not only the requirements of the law, but the punishments you deserve. In order to suffer and die in your place, he had to renounce his divine powers and privileges. If he had not, the very nails would have bent as the soldiers tried to pound them in. 12 legions of angels would have descended on Gethsemane and rescued him. Tears and bloody sweat wouldn't have been pressed out of him in agony, but out of us. What did we chant in the introit? The Lord is their stronghold in time of trouble. Or as another psalm has it, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Your discipleship is not good enough to go to heaven. Jesus is. Jesus' holy life and innocent suffering and death have built a tower that does reach all the way to heaven. Own him as your rock, your tower, your fortress. Own him more than you own your sin and sinfulness. Own what he says about your sins more than what you think about them. Jesus is not only a tower, but he is the one strong enough to meet the sin, death, and the devil coming against you. Yes, under the law you had to make peace with him and be owned by them. The law that you break gives them that power. You are no match for them, but Jesus is. He kept the law in your place. He suffered the law's punishments in your place. What say then does the law now have over your life? By what law can sin, death, and the devil claim any part of you? What law could they cite that Jesus didn't fulfill? What punishment can the law demand you get that Jesus didn't already suffer in your place? Stop being owned by the law. Feeling guilty for sins that Jesus forgave you for. Stop letting the law measure your standing before God or others. You are owned by Jesus. What Jesus says about your sins, your death, and the power of the devil has over you, that's what counts. Does Jesus teach you to use the law to find your place with him or with anybody else? I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is you think this text is about who can be a disciple, even though Jesus says the direct opposite. Three times Jesus says the identical thing. He says, you cannot be my disciple. This text is about who can't be his disciple, not about who can be. You can't be a disciple based on your keeping of the law, based on your discipleship, based on your building a Christian life or defeating sin, death, and the devil. But you can be his disciple based on his keeping of the law, based on his discipleship, and based on him building a tower and defeating sin, death, and the devil. You can't be a disciple based on your owning discipleship, but you can be a disciple based on Jesus owning you. It all comes down to being owned by Jesus. Like we do, Jesus puts his name on those he owns. Has Jesus put his name on you? He has if you've been baptized. There's his name written large across your forehead and across your heart as a sign that you've been redeemed by Christ the crucified. When we own something, we take care of it. Are you taken care of by Jesus? Does he forgive your sins? Does he blot out your transgressions? Does he send your guilts away from you in absolution? Then you are cared for by him, and so you must be owned by him. His absolution proves it. When we own plants and pets, we feed them, don't we? Are you fed by Jesus? He gives his body for bread and his blood for wine to his disciples, to those he owns. And those he owns take eat, take drink, and so follow him. Discipleship comes down to ownership. It comes down to being owned by Jesus, not you owning him. What you and I do is always uncertain, unsure, up in the air. Therefore, so is what we own. What Jesus does is done, finished, complete. Therefore, so is his ownership. It's true. You can't be a disciple based on what you do, what you bear, or what you give up. You can only be one based on what Jesus has done and still does. Own that. Amen. Now the peace of God which passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.